season of the Monday Mile podcast. It's a new year and we are on season six. Go on. Today we are in central London and it is raw. So it's time for us to get moving. You know what to do. Stick your headphones in and listen whilst you're on your morning commute or just heading out to get some headspace. Today's guest is Charlie Hedges. She's a rock star mum and is most known for being a radio DJ who presents on Radio 1 as a part of Ricky, Melvin and Charlie. Charlie.
Hello!
Happy New Year!
I mean, this is great for New Year because we get to walk a mile and I get to burn off some turkey and everything else that I've eaten in the last couple of weeks.
Turkey and everything else. I think the question everyone wants to know is, what was the everything else? Because let's be honest, the turkey's like the healthy bit.
I mean, yeah, I go in. So, like, I've been known to have crisps on the side of my Christmas dinner.
You're joking.
I'm same as you. It's one in, all in. Like, I literally stuff my face constantly. Well, I stuff my face all year, to be fair. But yeah, this is good timing for this walk.
It is. I think we'll just do an extra mile.
Sweet.
And freeze, because that's got to be good
for
us.
Why not?
Yeah. How are you? You've just come straight off the air.
Yes, I have.
How's the form?
It's been a lot of fun. Obviously, do the live lounge show in the week with Ricky and Melvin, and on Saturdays I do dance anthems. So yeah, it's always chock-a-block in a good way. But yeah, love the shows. Always loads of fun. Live lounge is epic. Get to see loads of people perform, which is amazing.
That's actually mad, because you get some of the most reputable artists in the world just rock up and play.
Everyone who is everyone. So from like...
Go on, give us a little name drop, Charlie.
So these are not necessarily people that I've seen since being on the live lounge, because I've only been there a little while. But people like Jay-Z, Ariana Grande, 1975,
no
way. Bone Man, Arctic Monkeys, Lizzo. It's, basically, like I said, everyone who's everyone. It's a big show.
You know what would make me the most excited?
Go on.
Now I might get judged for this. Okay, there's a few people. Definitely Miley Cyrus.
Yep, she's done it.
That'd be freaking cool. And then, I'm not going to lie, I am a big Spice Girls fan.
Oh, same! That'd
be cool.
That would be epic. Do you know who I really want to see that... I haven't been there since she done the last live lounge, but Florence Welch, Florence and Machine.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is ridiculous. In fact, that is one of the most ridiculous jobs I reckon we've ever had on this podcast.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's different. Like, a lot of people that come on this podcast do have the opportunity to meet some incredible people, but for that to be the daily, that's insane. So we first met, I think I spotted you at Marks and Spencer's.
So do you know what the maddest thing is?
Yeah, go on.
I was chatting to one of your friends the other day. This is going to sound really strange, right? Yes, we did meet where you're saying. But we was also, I believe, on the same train at the same time. Because now it's all making sense. So we was on a train to Glasgow.
Yep.
And all I remember is somebody, a good few seats down, like I couldn't see
if it
was you or not.
Oh, no.
But I just heard somebody chatting to a stranger. Now I knew there was a stranger because they said nice to meet you, and then this said person, which is now definitely you, didn't stop talking for the whole time. And it must have been you, because then we saw each other in the shop, and then as we got out to the hotel, right?
Yeah, we both got in separate cabs to the same hotel, and you were standing behind me with some sort of suit jacket in a wrap where it had just been dry cleaned. And I was like, she's got to be here for the same reason I have. And then we ended up on the same floor and didn't stop chatting for 20 minutes while standing outside our hotel rooms.
Which is exactly what we're doing right now. Chatting again.
Did you get Deliveroo that night though?
No, I didn't.
Oh, did you not?
There were some biscuits in my hotel room, so I ate them and went to sleep. Did
nice.
You?
Oh yeah, I Deliveroo'd a Lebanese. It was brilliant.
Oh, love it.
So let's get stuck in, because is it fair to say you are one of the youngest ever breakfast DJs?
So at the time when I first started on the breakfast show at Kiss, I was, which is mad to think that, because I obviously didn't realise at the time. But yeah, I started
19 years old?
Yep, 19. I just started uni, and the breakfast show asked for someone to come in and make teas and stuff. I didn't obviously just get that out of nowhere. I did loads of work experience up there from when I was like 13. And it was mad, and apparently I was the youngest presenter at the time.
Claim that.
Yeah, I love
that. I reckon
that.
You should get a little Guinness Book of Records for that. Let's apply for that one. Tell us about your story with your dad. I feel like I can connect to this because your dad sounds very similar to mine.
Do they not stop talking?
Proud as punch.
Yeah, so my dad is a London black taxi driver, right? And when I was 13, I started freelancing for this magazine. I saw an advert in a paper, applied for it, and this really nice lady called Kelly, she was like, you know what, just for the cheek of it, they was looking for a journalist. Obviously I was 13, I was no journo. They took me on. So my dad would like drop me to various places with them so I could do bits and pieces, and I thought, you know what, I want to start trying to get some bits in the magazine, as in like writing. So my dad used to, strangely enough, around that time pick up like various celebs, and he'd be like, my daughter is writing for this magazine, can she come and interview you? So a lot of people kindly said yes. And one of those people was a presenter on The Breakfast Show at KISS at the time.
No way!
So that's how I got in the building. They let me come up and interview him. And
they let me in the building.
And then I didn't leave! I used to go up like every Saturday, all my school holidays. And then, yeah, that's how where the connection came from when I started uni. Because they contacted me and said, look, we need a runner for the show. We need someone to come make teas. Do you want to come and work on it? I was like, yes, 100%. I still want to do my degree. So I did both. I used to get into KISS at like 4 in the morning, do the breakfast show, drive to uni, and then completed my BA honours in journalism, and then was on The Breakfast Show, which is mad. It's, yeah.
That's actually a crazy journey, because juggling both uni and being a runner at the time, did you think making tea could lead to where you are today?
I know this sounds silly. I probably never ever thought that I could end up at Radio 1, to be completely honest with you, because, you know, this was an absolute dream of mine. But I knew just being there doing that, that I was going to make sure I got somewhere.
Yeah.
It just felt like it was meant to be. And, you know, I saw making cups of tea as a way of chatting to people, meeting loads of people in the building. When, you know, someone was off, you'd be around to step in. And so I just took every opportunity and did as much as I could whilst I was there. So, yes, I knew I would make something of it, but never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be lucky enough to end up on Radio 1. Absolutely not. And obviously be on KISS as well, which is still mind-blown, really.
That is so cool. So juggling the two was definitely worth it.
100%. It was worth it to me. I had a wicked tutor who was amazing at the time, called Chris, and I remember him pulling me in, and he was like, look, we really want you to get your degree, but we are worried because you're doing breakfast show bits as well. I would basically miss, I think it was 2 or 3 lectures every day driving from KISS to my
that's,
uni.
That's a lot of time.
So he said to me, look, obviously I'm backing you all the way, but I am worried you're not going to pass because it's just too much. And I just remember saying to him, look, you've got to trust me on this one. And he did, bless him, and I carried on doing both, and I got my degree and stayed at KISS. So, yeah, I was grateful to him because he kind of, yeah, I've never needed to be pushed, to be honest. I've always tried to work really hard. But it's nice to have that person in your ear go, you might not make this, and then you go, no, I bloody will. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was really cool. He was amazing.
Would you say having a degree in journalism has come in handy throughout your career?
I think so, because I've always liked to think of having a little bit of a backup for something.
Yeah.
Even though I knew I always wanted to be a radio presenter, I knew I always wanted to be a DJ. So I never sort of veered away from that. But I just think I love writing. I always used to love writing. So just to have that behind the scenes as well. And yeah, I suppose it hurts, because when you're building content for a radio show, you still have your sort of journo head on a little bit, and so it has helped. Yeah, I think it has.
In what sense, being able to create and package something that appeals to a certain audience?
I think so, because it's like when you're writing a story, you've got a start, a middle and an end.
Yeah.
On a radio show, you start a link, you need to have a middle, and you need to have an out to get you out of it to go into a tune. Yeah. So I think your head always thinks like that, and it's like how to get to the punchline, or how to, you know, what do people want to know in 30 seconds on the radio? It's the same as trying to write a little article. What do they want to know in 4 lines? Do you know what I mean? So it does sort of work together in a weird
correlates
way.
Have you always had a passion for music?
Oh my god, like always. My mum and dad work.
Really?
Oh God, they took me to gigs when I was tiny.
No like, way.
I'm talking, funny enough, my mum found a photo a couple of weeks ago and it was, I don't know how old I was, but talking about Spice Girls, the Spice Girls
no
were
way.
It was a Radio 1 roadshow. They used to do roadshows back in the day. And my mum and dad took me to one and there's a photo of me standing outside like a massive truck that Radio 1 were broadcasting from. And the weird
no
thing
way.
Is that me and the boys got to broadcast from a similar sort of truck a couple of months ago, and my mum took the photo of me as a kid and put it with the new photo.
No
it makes
way.
My hairs go up on my arms because I never forget that. They were amazing, the road show. So yeah, I've always been into music. Like my mum and dad have always listened to all sorts of music as well. And so always been into everything really.
So of a morning, what are we vibing to in the Hedges household?
So my daughter absolutely loves dance music. I'm not really? Just saying this as like a really crappy plug
Radio
for my
One
dance show. But honestly, she loves it. And they do say, don't they, when you play certain music to little bubbers that are in your belly, that they do know that style of music, or they do remember it when they're born, and she definitely does. So I have dance music blasting. I do love indie as well though, so like from Arctic Monkeys to the Razor Lights to Oasis, loads of different music as well. But she's definitely a house head, so that is what he's on in the morning.
Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, some people would hate my house. It is well loud, but yeah, that is a bit of me, to be honest with you.
That's what it's all about though, vibing.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about vision boards. I've always got a goal or something I'm working towards, but I've never actually physically scripted or written down the journey to it. No, I'm kind of like, that's what I want, and I'm going to do this, and this to get there, and I see it as a series of little steps.
Yeah, so I've done this for like years. I would write random things down on an actual like post-it notes and shove it on a board and put it in a room where I'm looking at it all the time, or at least see it once a day, especially in the morning, I think, or before bed. It's good to go to sleep thinking about stuff. And I've just always done it, from wanting to be on radio to DJing in a club that I wanted to DJ in my entire life, to I put on a couple of years ago, which is even weirder, Live Lounge, and I put a dance show down. I mean,
no way.
Even that, it is freaky, and whether you believe that stuff or not, I don't know, but I honestly believe if you are looking at something constantly and telling yourself every day that is what you're going to have, that is what you want, then I just feel like subconsciously you sort of create your own path. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you can see the end goal.
Definitely.
But how about the bits in the middle? Because I think that's the thing that can often be lost in translation,
and definitely.
I think can be hard for anybody that's listening to this. You see people in high powered positions or people who are successful, and you just ask yourself, but how did they get there? Was there a process that you'd mapped out, or were you just looking at the end goal?
I had the end goal obviously written down, but if I'm being completely honest with you, in between all of that, it's just a lot of no's. Like, I've had so many no's, which at the time always feels really disappointing and really gutting, but in a weird way, it's been a positive thing, because I almost look at a no and go, right, okay, how do I turn that into a yes? Do you know what I mean?
So if someone, how do I prove you wrong?
Yeah, if someone said no to me, I'll either knock back on that door in 6 months to a year's time, or I won't knock on that door because it is a definite no. And you kind of find another way around it. So in between all of the positives, there's been a lot of, like I said, a lot of no's, but I've just tried to navigate around them and just carry on. Just be positive. I like to think that I am a positive person, and just don't lose sight of the end goal. That's honestly how I've done it. And I don't know what else to suggest. You just have to take the no's and turn them into positives.
When somebody has said no to you, has there ever been a moment where it's actually affected you and you've gone, oh no, what am I doing with my life? Or have you instantly looked at the way around the outside or over the top?
Honestly, sometimes I've like come home and definitely not recently, but a good few years ago, sometimes I'd say to mum and dad, like, is this the right thing for me to be doing? You know, do you think this is meant for me? Blah, blah, blah. And like my mum and dad have always said, things are a no for a reason, and you don't sometimes understand why they're a no at the time. But when I look back, I completely understand why that person said no. And it makes so much sense at the
time. It's funny that actually, yeah. I've got quite a lot of situations where I can look back and go, oh yeah, well obviously you wouldn't have trusted me with that particular job at that point, because I had no experience.
Exactly that. And it seems so disheartening, but it's getting no's is so important, and you need a gazillion of them to appreciate when you do get something you want.
Okay, so take us to the moment when you got that yes. You step into the Radio 1 Live Lounge.
God.
For the first time, can you express the internal emotion that you were feeling?
Do you know what? I can, because I still get that feeling every single time we have someone come into the Live Lounge. Honestly, we have a countdown which we play at midday, and it counts down from 5 to 1. And honestly, I feel like I could wet myself every time we play it, because that excitement just doesn't go away. From being told that we've got the Live Lounge show to now, the excitement honestly never dies. Like, I could cry with happiness every time we play that thing at midday, because it's a dream. That is my dream job, it really is, honestly.
That makes me so happy hearing you say that.
It's the truth, I promise you.
You've got this infectious energy.
Thank you.
The day that I met you on our strange train journey to Glasgow, you've got something really infectious that's different. Oh. It's like you're a force to be reckoned with.
Thank you so much. Well, I would say the same about you, which is funny how we are now friends, because I remember coming home the day I met you and going, oh, I've met the nicest girl. She's yeah, you are. You're incredible as well. So I appreciate that, but thank you so much.
Right, now, this bit excites me, because this is new territory for me.
Yeah.
So, you've spoken quite openly about having your daughter, and how you were fearful of approaching the subject of having a baby, because often, especially in the media industry, it can be seen to be a hindrance, or it might affect certain work that you may or may not get as a freelancer. So what was it that sort of changed your decision to have your baby girl?
So the truth of it is that when I came to Radio 1, which I've talked about this on air before, and I've talked about it a few times since having Summer, I just, for the first time in my entire life, I just felt so safe and so secure. But I don't mean safe in a lazy way where I can put my feet up. I just felt looked after is probably the nicer way to say it. So, you know, we had obviously talked about trying for a baby, and I had put it off because I was worried that it might get in the way of things previously. But like I said, since coming to Radio 1, I just felt so happy that it just felt the right time to obviously try. And when I told my boss, it was just the loveliest reaction, because there's no reason why anyone should be made to feel like you have to give up your career or give up what you've worked so hard for. You know, this little bundle of joy that's coming into your life is a part of all this. It just makes it even better. But I do totally understand that I am very lucky, and not every workplace is like this, and not everyone has this support and backup and the ability. Like the first couple of weeks I went back on air, they said I could broadcast from home. I understand that's not possible.
It's not the case for everyone, right?
And I bloody wish it was, because everyone should have that support. You know, all parents, male, female, all parents. It's not just a female thing. It's everyone should have that support. So I'm so fortunate. But it has made that transition going back to work so much easier, because I don't have to worry about anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What would you say to any people aspiring to be parents that are feeling that sense of fear in approaching that stage of their life?
I just feel like if you are worried about anything, then it's good to have that conversation probably with your boss, or, you know, have conversations with people just to maybe make you feel a bit more comfortable. And other than that, it's such a difficult one, because like I said, everybody should be given the right to feel safe in their workplace, and I really hope that more people do feel safe. Do you know what I mean? I knew that it was the right time for me to start a family, and so I just went for it, and I was so lucky that I was backed. And yeah, it makes me
supported
sad.
In that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mega. Aren't. Big ups, Radio 1.
Yes, Alex.
We love that. We love that. Now, You're back at work.
Yep.
How was that transition going from having a little bit of time off? You weren't off for long, back in the mix in the live lounge. Does she come?
She will do. Trust me, she will. So my producers of my Saturday show, my dance show, they bought her a little pair of, which is really cute, a little pair of ear defenders.
Yes.
So like all the festivals that I'm playing at this year, she's going to be coming to some of them. Obviously, daytime ones, she's not going to be raving at 3 a.m. Not yet anyway, there's plenty of time for that. But yeah, it's just been so much fun because I get to come into work, you know, do the shows, and then I've got a little person waiting at home for me, which is, yeah, it's the best thing in the world.
The ultimate.
It is the ultimate. She's a dream. I got very lucky.
So your routine, I can imagine, has changed quite drastically since having summer.
Yeah.
How have you adapted?
I think the key is to be organised.
Okay,
I'm quite an organised person, so I just think if you're a new parent, anything you want to do,
yeah,
go back 2 days or 3 days. So say you've got something planned, say it's Monday and you've got something planned for a Friday,
yeah,
start prepping on that Monday.
Okay.
Because then you're not rushing around like
creating chaos.
Yeah, definitely, because you know children are unpredictable. So my thing is try and be as organised as possible. Give yourself a few days to like organise stuff. Like if I'm gonna go and meet someone or go out with my mum, then I'll get like bags and stuff ready beforehand. When I get home from work, or I'll get up even earlier in the morning,
yeah,
and just try and organise my life because it is chaos.
Have you always been quite an organised person, or is that something that's changed?
I've been organised in like a work, in work.
Yeah.
At home, I'm an absolute nightmare. Like I'm like a boy in a china shop.
Nice.
Literally chaos. At work, very organised.
Split contrast. We like that. Do you manage to find any time for you to sort of take time out? To work out, where does that come in?
I mean,
is it a factor?
I ain't work. This is the only workout I've had in about 2 years.
yes, we're getting it in. This is what we like on this podcast. We like inspiring people to get outside and move with us.
This is the only walk I've done.
So you do realise you're going to have to now subscribe, Charlie.
Oh, I will.
And you're going to have to walk every single Monday with the rest of our listeners.
Oh, trust me, I will. I will. I ate so much rubbish last night as well. So yeah, this is good.
Is it something that's important to you, movement?
Yeah, totally, because it just does so much for your mental health, and it does. Yeah. And I just, even if you have a bit of a crappy day, whatever, even walking from, like when I had my daughter, my mum saying to me, every day whilst I was at home, because I was at home for 7 weeks, I think it was, before I went back to work.
That's no time, is it?
At the time, it felt like forever, but actually looking back, no, it is no time. But my mum always said to me, just even if you go out with her for 5 minutes, just go for a walk because it clears your head, or go out on your own, like I would leave somewhere with my partner for a bit. I'm totally for walking. In fact, yeah. I joke about, I don't go to the gym or anything because I've just tried and it's just not for me.
Not
but
your
I do
vibe.
Love to walk, to be yeah. honest with you. So where I can walk, I do.
I love a little walk.
Yeah, me too.
Especially when it's -2 and you can't feel your fingers.
Buzzing.
We love that, don't we? What's your relationship like with Monday, the start of the week? Do you like Mondays?
Love Monday.
Yes.
I always feel like...
We love that. Starting the new year strong, Charlie.
But you have to, because I feel... I think Mondays get a bit of a bad rep, don't they? Because, you know, start of the week. But I always say, if you try and make Monday a good one...
Yeah.
Then the rest of the week is going to follow like that. But if you wake up and go, oh, it's going to be crap, then the rest of the week's going to be crap.
Yeah.
So, no, I do
Too
love
true.
A Monday. In fact, I said on air a couple of weeks ago, imagine if a Monday feeling was a Wednesday. Like, why is it a Monday? Why do you feel bad on a Monday? I know, because it's first day of the week.
And you've got a whole week to get through. But wouldn't it be incredible if we could change or rewrite that feeling?
Definitely. It doesn't have to be the Monday. I just feel like everyone just needs to say Monday's a good day.
Yeah.
And then see how we get on.
And then we're vibing.
And I'll text you this Monday and go, what a crap Monday that was.
So, pretty mad, considering it's the first Monday of the new year.
Yeah.
You spent New Year's Countdown on the decks.
So, I was lucky enough to be asked to do Radio 1's midnight show. So, I was on air from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m, which again was on the old vision board.
What?
It's such an iconic show. And I was, funny enough, I was meant to have an actual gig, which I turned down because... I might never get asked to do the midnight slot again on New Year's Eve. And I jumped at the opportunity.
That is such an honour.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, literally amazing. It was an on-air party. It was so much fun. I'll never forget it. Like, literally amazing.
That is unreal. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's so cool. I think I need to get my vision board out.
See you later. Just writing on walls.
What's the vision board looking like? Is it cork board?
Yeah, it's a cork board.
What do I need to get?
It's an absolute state. So it's a cork board, but it's got a frame, like a glass frame over it. I don't even use the cork. I just get post-it notes and stick them on the glass.
Nice.
It's an absolute disaster.
It sounds great. Yeah, yeah. Constructed chaos.
Which is me.
We like that. So for anyone joining us on this podcast today, looking and seeking inspiration from hearing you chat on the podcast, have you got any tips or life mottos that you live by that you can share for our listeners?
I like to think I'm a positive person, and I hope I am a positive person. For me, I just feel like if you try and be as positive as you possibly can, even in crappy times, even if it's a bad time, just try and see a positive in anything. And I honestly do believe that good things do come your way if you're a nice person, if you do nice things for other people, if you put other people first. So that would be my thing, just try and be happy. Try and be happy. Whatever happy means to you, try and surround yourself with the right people, good people, and try and be happy.
Often it literally is as simple as starting with having a smile on your face,
right? It
really
is. And like we've just said, don't make Monday that bad day. Make Monday a good day. It's the start of a new week. Make it count. And that's all I live by. And the rest is out of your hands, isn't it, really?
Oh, too true. It so is. I liked also what you said about making other people happy.
Yeah, it's important.
Because that's rewarding in itself, and I think that can lift you.
It's been fun today.
It's a time for giving.
It is.
Monday Mile listeners, that is a wrap. A massive, massive thank you to Charlie Hedges for joining us here on Monday Mile, the Walk and Talk podcast. You know what to do. Make sure you tune into the audio every single Monday. It drops at 1 a.m. and the visuals will be up on my Instagram at Amy_Fuller. And I think you should give Charlie a follow, because I'm leaving this chat feeling inspired. Aww. And I want to go and keep giving to make other people happy.
I'll see you on the train soon.
Yeah, where are we off to?
Let's go anywhere.
You're off home.
Bye.
We've literally delivered you back to your office. Radio 1's over there. Mad.
I love it.
It's all right.